White Rocket Entertainment.
White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 359.
Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone.
Let's watch some football. Now everybody, come on everybody.
They're not going to keep him off the field tonight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yo, yo, yo. Let's watch some football.
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone special midweek episode brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment. In association with TheWarEagleReader.com and the War Eagle Sports Radio Network. And by people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family via Patreon.com. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined for this special midweek Auburn, Tennessee preview episode by my good friend Tom Morris. Welcome aboard the AU Wishbone, Tom.
Glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me on.
Well, it's...
Wow. It's a long time to talk to an Auburn fan. We seem to, the fate seemed to be keeping us from playing to each other.
Yeah, it's been a while. I mean, I guess the last time we played was 2013. I remember Nick Marshall and Trey Mason's team went up to Knoxville and played. And that's the only time we played your previous coach. And so it's been very rare. It was a series that was so great that you know, over the years we had some great early. It was always the early season game, you know, usually in September, like usually week three.
Yep.
And it set the table for both team season, and there were just some epic battles there when Johnny Majors and Pat Dye. Those were epic, epic SEC battles.
I just got done rewatching, just for nostalgia, the 89 game.
Oh, the rain, the blame it on the rain game, we call it. That was when Milli Vanilli was big, and so they had the blame it on the rain, and that's what we call that game, yeah.
Yeah, of course, you know, that's the best example, you know, like cocaine can do good things, because Reggie Cobb got kicked, you know, scored all over the guys and later got kicked off the team for cocaine drug failure. So.
Yeah, that was the game I remember. The talk was that it was already pouring down rain and Johnny Majors turned on the sprinklers just so it'd be a little extra wet. I tell you, he and Dye were just peas in a pod, and they were such a great matchup against each other, you know. And 1 year, one of them would totally have the upper hand. The next year, the other would totally. You never knew which way that series was going to go back then. It was awesome.
Yeah, I've said it before. The SEC needs realignment and bring you guys to the East so we can get, you know, we have the series again.
No kidding.
And I say kick Missouri to the West because they're.
Yes.
It makes no sense why Missouri's in the East and you guys are in the West. Because you guys are so – I mean, you'd keep most of your rivalries because there's no way you guys lose the Iron Bowl. You'd still have your rivalry with Georgia, and you'd still be able to play us.
And Florida.
And Florida.
And Georgia.
South Carolina. You get some good games.
Well, all of our traditional rivals are in the East except Alabama. And you know, because Tennessee we had to quit playing, Florida we had to quit playing, Georgia we had to make our special little friend to play them every year. Do you know though the number one stumbling block to Auburn not being in the East is not Auburn and it's not Georgia, it's not Tennessee, it's not Florida. The number one stumbling block is Alabama, because those that don't know, if Auburn moved to the East, Alabama would have to choose whether to play Auburn or Tennessee as their every year East opponent. And Alabama likes to say that Tennessee is a bigger rival of theirs than Auburn. Now, I know Tennessee is a big rival of theirs, but to quote Marco Rubio,
dispel once and for all with this fiction.
Auburn is their number one rival, okay? Tennessee is right up there, 1A.
I would say a long time ago it would probably be even.
Yeah.
Then when, you know, Steve Spurrier definitely changed the landscape for that rivalry because, you know, once he and Florida made Tennessee, you know, they're our number one rival.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Saban's got his own.
That's a good point.
Trust me, you mentioned Nick Saban in Knoxville. There'll be a lot of spitting. So.
But no, that's
not quite as Lane Kiffin spitting. But.
Well, that's, yeah. Well, how could there? But no, you make an excellent point that sometimes one coach and one situation can change everything because, Florida and Tennessee were, I guess they were always. always they played each other. But man, starting in like the 1990s, that game was the game in the SEC for a while, wasn't it?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, the thing about it is like Florida really didn't. I mean, when they finally kind of became prominent in the SEC, it was because of the rivalry between Tennessee and Florida.
Yeah.
Just as like all the great, you know, this is how Auburn was. You know, I mean, when Pat Dye left Auburn, that was definitely a sad moment for Tennessee fans because we always loved he was kind of our number two guy we hated. I mean, because you know, good old Horseface Stallingsworth never said anything.
Yeah, he never. Stallings knew to not say or do anything that would get anybody more angry than they already
just
were.
Just scowl.
Yeah, that's funny. That's good. So. Yeah, it was such a great rivalry. I was looking at some of the historical. We'll talk a little bit about this year's game. I'm not sure either one of us is thrilled about it right this minute, but we will. But it's kind of like who will be worse, you know, who will find a way to lose it worse. But
I know betting polls are probably scratching their heads right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You have home field advantage, though.
So that's right. You know, I'm looking at the series, and it's funny. It's a very streaky series. In fact, there's only been one period in the history of the series – really, where a different team won it every year. It was usually one team dominating for 2 or 3 years, and then the other team would dominate for 2 or 3 years. Only in the 70s, like from 68 through like 74, did you get kind of a back and forth a little bit. But otherwise, it's a very streaky series, and obviously, you know, in the from 89 through 99, Tennessee won every game except for that tie in 1990. I was at that game, by the way, in Auburn, the die tie, one of the many die ties. But then after that, Auburn has won every game since 1999. It's just such a streaky thing. It's so weird. And, of course, two of the four games played between 87 and 90 were ties. That's just
and
crazy.
It's weird too because there's no ties anymore.
Yeah, no, if they could, you know,
who knows what would have happened if they'd had, you know, a proper overtime rules back then.
Oh gosh, yeah, that would be. Yeah, it would be interesting.
Course, I'm younger, but you know, one of the first games I remember watching at home was the 89 rain game.
And, oh yeah,
and of course, you know, I was going to tell you a trivia question: how many times in the last 30 years have the goalposts been tore down at UT?
You know, I don't remember, but I'm going to bet that maybe in 85 when Auburn was number one with Bo Jackson and Tennessee won that big game, was probably.
Well, no, I was saying last 30 years. I mean, that's a little bit past that. But
oh,
no,
you're right.
I mean,
you're right. I can't do math.
Yeah,
sorry.
It's only been twice. Game and in 20 years ago, last month, the Florida game.
Yeah.
I was on the field when that happened. Yeah,
oh,
I
wow.
I was one of the many people who stormed the field in like 10 seconds. Soon as that kick curve, yes. We were all headed down. I don't know how I went from the top of the lower deck down in 15 seconds, but we all did it. Somehow
just
we
dove
like,
off. Stage dive.
The Speed Force kicked in, and we all were on the field.
Well, that had to have been incredible.
CBS was so angry.
Okay, you're talking about the 98 game. That's the year Tennessee went on to win the national championship. And for those that don't know or don't remember, Tennessee had really been struggling with Spurrier in Florida that whole decade. Even in the years that Tennessee probably had the better team, Florida just had your number there for a while, and it had to be incredibly frustrating because, I mean, he had everybody's number. He had everybody's number.
Yeah.
And then the Vols pulled that game out in 98, went on to go undefeated and won the national championship with T. Martin. Yeah, that being there at that game had to just be the pinnacle for a Tennessee fan, right?
Well, it was weird, too, because we had a feeling going into it because, like, 97, that was Peyton Manning's last year. So a lot of people don't forget – Peyton Manning was not the quarterback when we won the national championship.
No,
it was
no.
The rest. He had graduated a year earlier, stayed for his last year eligibility, and we still couldn't beat Florida. But we wound up. I think we were like number three. So we got blown out by Nebraska.
I remember all this very well. Yes.
But yeah, that team turned it around on the offseason.
So anyway, so yeah, the 98. So that I remember all that very well because 1997 was Peyton Manning's last game before his bowl, which I believe was against Nebraska in an Orange Bowl or something, was the SEC championship game against Damian Craig, and that was one of the most painful losses in Auburn history. That was
an interesting – because we hadn't got to play you guys by that point. The first time we finally faced Terry Bowden, which by the way, I always give credit he. Took over such a mess and kept you guys really good, but you know, all the violation, you guys couldn't do anything. That was such a frustrating time for you guys.
Yeah, that's right. I'd forgotten that's the That was one of only two games that Terry got to coach against Tennessee, that and the next one. And the next one was interesting, too, because that was the national championship team in 98, and that was one of the worst teams in Auburn history, and we still came within 8 points.
I guess it was a combination – quit before they fire me, like,
yeah,
a few
that's
days
right.
later.
It was after the Florida game that he quit that year. But yeah, that Tennessee game that year was, if not for the – we did a shovel pass that your linebacker intercepted and ran back like 80 yards. You just don't see shovel passes intercepted.
And he almost ran out of steam because he wasn't used to running that much.
You just don't see shovel passes turn into pick sixes that often.
No, but one of the things I've credited, like when they look back, like why was that team so good, was our weight program. They had after the Nebraska loss, they mm-hmm. hit, the guys had just bulked up like massively. And, you know, we had guys like Al Wilson we had some pretty fit, iconic, defensive players.
Oh, absolutely.
And
those guys were great.
It was just such a tough team. So, and it's kind of funny now we're in the situation now with the last 10 years. The amount of coaches, assistants, and one of the big sports radio guys here was talking about how they've not had a consistent person in the weight room in 10 years. So it's one of the reasons why our players constantly have some, inconsistency when it comes to blocking.
Well, let's look at that then. You've got Jeremy Pruitt now. What are your thoughts on him? Are you happy with him? I know you had kind of a fiasco of a coaching search at first, but I mean, the way it played out, do you feel pretty good about it or what? What's your feeling? What's your read on it right now?
I'm still on the fence about it. Not that I don't have respect for the guy, because if you're going to be Saban's defense coordinator, you got to be good.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you always wonder how much is he actually calling versus how much is Saban kind of doing it all.
Remember, he was also the defensive coordinator at Florida State the year they beat us for the national championship. So
I don't have an issue with that, like I said. But, for me, I've got all sorts of conspiracy theories about that whole hiring mess. I'm sure if your listeners weren't paying attention. So we fired Butch Jones after probably, he'd come in and clean things up, and then it's had a total spiral. First time we ever went, lost every SEC game. So he was fired. And then they first announced they were going to hire the offensive coordinator for Ohio State, and that turned into a big mess because he'd been a Penn State guy, and nobody wanted him to come here. And they canceled the deal before it could be certified, and within like it was like 3 hours announced within 3 hours it was canceled.
That was Schiano, right?
Yeah, Schiano. And the thing about it is, like, I didn't think he was a good choice, and the issue that a lot of fans, at least locally, had that was mad was, Ohio State is near Cleveland, and of course the owner of the Cleveland Browns is Jimmy Haslam, who's one of the biggest biggest boosters for UT. So people were screaming that's Jimmy Haslam's doing, not the administration. And I think all the fiascos we had seemed to be they've tried to keep it quiet, but he was definitely constantly consulted, as he's one of the biggest donors to the campus. So.
Sure.
And I've always said the reason the athletic director got fired by the sixth day of this crazy search was because he went to go interview Mike Leach.
Right.
And apparently, my understanding was Mike Leach was on the no-no list. But after, six different interviews that didn't turn out, Mike Leach was probably the guy he had on his list. Like, well, if I can't get these guys, I'll get Mike Leach. And
right.
He got fired. And Phil Fulmer, who after 10 years of being kind of in one of the weirdest situations, like he wasn't really fired as much as he was relieved of duties of the football program, suddenly finds himself the athletic director. And he hired for it. So, and the thing is, like I said, one of the things I always credit about Fulmer is he had really good assistants. And, specifically, David Cutcliffe and John Chavis, they both went on the big careers after UT.
Right.
So I've always said that was so he knows how to find somebody.
Right.
So
you got
those
him.
So I think that's the big factor.
So you got Pruitt, and for those that haven't been following Tennessee this year, how's the season been shaping up? I mean, it's obviously a massive rebuilding project.
Repeat. It seems to be it's feeling very much like last season, unfortunately, which is, we're just not ready.
But I mean, is it in process of getting better though, or is it just kind of going the same? I mean,
Don't never really know. That's the problem. He didn't get in. He didn't have enough time to get a proper recruiting class in. Okay. So we won't really know until next year. I think most people were hoping maybe one or two wins, but nobody expected Kentucky to be the strong. Nobody expected, you know, the way it's kind of the schedule's looking. You know, we were voted like the second worst schedule in the country.
Yeah,
because I think because we had it goes Florida, Georgia. We started out with West Virginia. That was a neutral site, and that was against
that's tough.
Will Greer, who's probably the Heisman, front runner, he blew us out. And we had a couple of easy games like ETSU and UTEP, so we got a couple wins in. But then it went Florida, which was we should have won. Like if you look at statistically, we beat them on everything else except we had six turnovers, which led to a lot of points off the turnovers.
You can't do that. That's right.
Yeah, and it was like weird. Like we had, and Pruitt went for it on fourth down multiple times. And one of the plays, like we go for it, the guy's running to the end zone, he gets hit, but tries to do the bit where you stretch and try to get the ball over the line where he's being hit, and he lost the ball, fumbled it into the end zone, and of course that's a touchback.
You don't have to tell me this week about that. That happened to us against Mississippi State.
It's exact definitely like there seems thing. To be a, I would say Mixoplex showing up at games.
Yeah.
Causes kind of chaos. That's how I would describe it. But so it's been strange. It's, Georgia, we played. I did notice we're playing better, but there's controversy too. You know, we've got a quarterback that I don't think is ready, but they keep starting him. We have a graduate transfer from Stanford. Kellen Christ, who I think is probably a little bit better, way more prepared, but for whatever reason, he's not getting the start. But I think it's because he's a graduate transfer. He's only got 1 year eligibility, so that may be the main reason. Meanwhile, our main quarterback, Jerry Guantaro, is getting pounded because he just, he can't scramble as good as he should, and our offensive line just can't protect him enough for the blitz. So,
Now that's an interesting matchup because our offensive line has been non-existent this year. We have no running game, and our passing game is falling apart because we can't open holes and we can't block for Stidham. We have a very good quarterback who's playing terribly this year. We have a in fact, I think he threw more touchdown passes in one game last year than he has the entire season so far, something like that. Our main running back that was playing fairly well has a separated shoulder, so we're down to the scat backs and the freshmen. So this is going to be an interesting matchup of two teams that really like are on the way to the emergency room. You know, they stop to play a game on the way to the hospital. Basically, It's not going to set the world on fire.
We have that one advantage. I think we've had a week off to peel up and
great
and emotionally improve, but we'll see. You know, Pruitt keeps talking like he's seen a team forming, which I do believe that it's going to take a long time because it's his scheme.
Yeah.
You know, a lot. These are all Butch Jones' players. He brought maybe like six players in. You know, so this is Butch Jones' team that he's working with now. Butch Jones, I will give credit. Great recruiter. He brought a lot of good players in, but he kept losing assistants left and right. So there was chaos constantly in like play calling. So it's obvious this team needs a guy who can stay there for 3 or 4 years to really build them and teach them. And we've not had that. Butch Jones was trying, but he kept losing assistants all the time. He had players constantly. Quit on him, so it's been a strange situation. I don't, behind the scenes they've been quiet about it, but we've had a lot of like off the field scandals. So
this is all. I mean,
and you guys know what it's like, how off the field scandals can ruin a team.
Yes, we do multiple times. Butch Jones was an odd duck, I mean, there's something about him I really respect. I think he seemed like a nice guy. He seemed very sincere. But on the other hand, and I want your view on this because obviously you're a lot closer to it than I am. On the other hand, he almost seemed kind of goofy in a way with it. Like he would take stuff that should have been motivating and cool and he would almost make it into a parody of itself. You know what I mean? Like the Champions of Life thing gets over talked about or whatever. But just what was he doing? Was he really sincerely trying to be cool about all that and it just didn't come off or what?
I take it as he'd been very successful other programs, Cincinnati.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just the SEC. He just could not make it work in the SEC. It's just, I've said it before, this is the entire football universe is going to be completely in chaos the minute, Saban announces his retirement. Because there's going to be so much jockey. All these teams are going to, coaches are going to be kind of going for that. and there's going to be a bunch of replacements in the process in the within a year and a half after that happens.
Please happen.
And Butch Jones, I think, probably could have done really well, but you know, when he got here, there wasn't like the East didn't have quite the coaching quality that he when he got here.
Right.
But you know, then several teams kept leaving. I mean, several of Saban's assistants went to other head coaching positions, and suddenly the East got a lot better head coaches. So
it has, yes.
And that's kind of the issue. It's like the talent coming out of Alabama is affecting, you know, the quality for everybody else.
Everybody else, yeah. Well, and you're right, too, that nobody saw Kentucky coming. I mean, they've suddenly got a pretty darn – now, they lost a very close game in overtime to a pretty decent Texas A&M, but – but I mean, gosh, they took them
coached
to overtime.
Coached by Jimbo Fisher, so it's like
yeah, they took them to overtime. I mean, good grief! The last thing that you guys needed was suddenly another team in the East, you know, kind of rising up a step. So it's just rough.
And Vanderbilt is actually pretty decent, you know. I mean, you can't even discount them. So it's a case for it's just getting harder and harder and harder.
Absolutely.
Overall, so that's sort of my take on the matter. It's like, and he just could. And the thing is, like, if he could keep a consistent staff, I think we could have seen something. But you know, and I blame some of that on Bush, some of just on the fact that somebody seems like I can't beat Saban. I can't be, you know, I can't take it the level. It's more than they can handle.
Right.
You know, and that's sort of what I've said before. Like, you know, Tennessee's in that situation.
So finally, then our last couple of minutes. What are you expecting to see on Saturday? Obviously, like I said, it's two wounded animals. It's two teams that are not they're going to be taking basically an ambulance to the game rather than a bus. You know, it's two teams that both desperately need a win. How do you see Auburn Tennessee 2018 shaping out?
It's going to be interesting because I really thought you guys were going to cream us. And I don't mean that in disrespect. I just didn't think we're ready for you guys. Yeah. I was like, well, if we're going to get an upset, it would have to be if it was at home. You guys got home field advantage.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I don't know how things are going to go because it seems like you're not the team you guys were expected to
be. No.
So I think it's going to be closer. But then again, we're under a curse right now. I don't know what it is. So I think you may have the advantage that you've got a more prepared quarterback. I don't know. What kind of defense is going to show up for you guys? So, yeah. Offensive line, I think we're both going to be a case of whose offense is tries.
It's less terrible.
Yeah, which one tries? Other than that, I think that's how it's going to be. It's just going to be a case of one team or the other team just kind of. It could be a game down to. It could be special teams wins the game.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and that's the one thing I was thinking. Like, you know. If our special teams show up, which they did in some of the games this year, we might have a shot then. If it's same situation in the Florida game where it's just kind of chaos reigns, who knows? Well, but I will say that you guys got the home field advantage.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So unless the hurricane soaks your field to the point where it's in, you know, it's a sponge again, I don't think you're going to have to, you know, I think it's going to be more, I think the odds are definitely still going to be in your favor.
Well,
but you know, like I said, the only hope that we have is that maybe, just maybe, our team has had enough rest and has been watching film over and over. We could pull something. I still think, you know, I would give us about a 40% chance of winning just because we just haven't gotten there yet.
Well, there certainly are plenty of weaknesses to be exploited on this Auburn team. There's no doubt about it. You know, you make a really good point about special teams because I have a feeling that this game could be similar to the Auburn-Arkansas game from a couple of weeks ago. That was a game that John and I actually went down to and did our video show there. And at that game, Auburn's offense was as bad as it was really against Mississippi State, but we blocked a couple of punts. We ran back a kickoff for a touchdown. We ran a punt back a long way. We were able to manufacture enough in special teams to kind of camouflage how bad the offense was, and we ended up winning, and the defense played great. We ended up winning like 34-3. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think that if Auburn can make some plays on special teams, Auburn should win the game by 7-10 points. But if the special teams are more like they were against Mississippi State, where we fumbled a punt and we recovered it and then fumbled a punt and lost it, which Ryan Davis doesn't normally do, but he dropped two punts in that game, then absolutely anything goes, and I think Tennessee has a very, very good chance of – and like you say, the other thing is, like you say, Tennessee's been off. Auburn has been taken through the ringer. Those players are probably emotionally drained. They're frustrated. They're angry. And so I can imagine.
But that could go the other way, too. They're angry, and it's like, ooh, we have Tennessee to beat on. So
you're right. It could go either way. Yeah.
Yeah, so I expect it to be an interesting game no matter what. So I can't wait to watch this weekend. You know, I hope that, you know, I forgot, are you guys coming to Knoxville next year?
You know, the way the stupid out of division thing works, I don't have any idea. I think we're actually going off to play Florida next year. It's like we play a one and done. We probably won't
That's
come
so
to
weird.
Knoxville
it's like
for like
really
5 years.
They really don't want you guys. They don't want us to play regularly.
Yeah,
it
I had
makes
that.
No sense.
Let me see. The last time we played in Knoxville was 2013. Yeah, so, So this will be the first. Yeah, we played in Knoxville in 2013 and 2009. We played in Auburn in 2008. So yeah, but it's just really weird how they don't do the home and away anymore. They do like a home or away, and then you go like 5 or 6 years. Because we played at Missouri last year, and we won't play Missouri again, home or away, for like 5 more years. It's just so strange.
Man, we have to play Missouri every other year, and I'm like, we got to get that over with. It's ridiculous. It's like, It makes no sense that, you know, especially if they're in South Carolina and they got to go all the way to Missouri for a game. I've said it before. They need to, you know, all these schools need to realign it and get you guys definitely. Where you belong in the East and get them to the West where they belong.
I'm 100% down with moving to the East. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think it would just bring this rivalry back. And I'm like, I get Alabama's take, but if they have to play Tennessee and Auburn every year, what's the problem?
Yeah, well, it's that you can't do two. That's the thing. You can only do one. And so they would have to choose between playing Auburn every year in the East or playing Tennessee every year in the East.
I know, but they should literally make that the agreement that you get to keep us. Yeah. They get to keep both games.
Yes.
And you guys get to – and I think no one would complain. I'm sure even Alabama fans would be happy about it because – You know,
I would be happy.
What are they worried about?
I would be happy to drop Ole Miss. It doesn't have to be LSU. We can keep playing LSU. I know that I did a poll recently, and Auburn fans now, all the younger ones, all think LSU is one of our big rivals. We never played LSU before about 88. We never played them. Nobody cared about LSU. So I would be happy to keep LSU and drop Ole Miss or drop Mississippi State or whatever to get Tennessee back. That would be great. So. All right. Well, final thoughts?
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Any final thoughts about this game? You're looking forward to it. You're thinking maybe it's an opportunity to get a W, maybe.
Like I said, the odds makers are going to have fun coming up the line, and probably by the end of the week. So we'll see how things go. Like I said, I'm still pessimistic, but that's just because I've been through this year. But hey, absolutely. You know, I do think that was probably a better chance for both teams to get a fair – I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a blowout. So let's hope a close game and that, you know, it's not some random stupid, turnover costs one team and instead they play pretty clean.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. All right, Tom, thanks for coming on. And we'll have this up in the middle of the week as a special preview. And you take it easy and we'll talk to you soon.
Oh, and also, I'm going to be starting a YouTube channel soon, so if you're looking for great ideas for movies or information, board games, and my wife's going to be out doing couponing, awesome. So look for us soon. It's the Morris Family Knows It All channel on YouTube.
Excellent. All right. Very good. Well, take it easy, and we'll see how it turns out on Saturday, and we'll talk to you then. All right.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
So what becomes of you, my love, when they have finally stripped you off the handbags and the glad rags that your granddad had to sweat so you could buy?
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.